Hello and welcome to Sunday's broadcast for the kids in Ignite. This is for Sunday the 5th of September. I hope you guys have been okay at school, and I hope you've really enjoyed sort of like the new rules and have enjoyed seeing your friends again and your teachers again, and that it's been going well. It is a difficult time, but we just have to bear with it and do the best we can, really. So well done if you're coping well, and if you're not, please do reach out to someone that you know you can talk to about any problems or any things that are worrying you. Don't keep it inside, and don't pretend everything is okay when it is not. And seek the help that you need. Very, very important. Okay, I would like to play a little game. I've got 5 clues for you for something that I would like you to try and guess. So, this is something that grows outside for 5 points. This is something that grows outside for 4 points. It is not only green. So it is something that grows outside. And the second clue is that it is not only green. The third point is for 3 points. It has varieties called bramble. And yeah, I think that's the only variety I can think of at the moment. So one of the varieties of it is called bramble. For 2 points, you can shape it. You can shape it. And for 1 point, it is not very tall. It is not very tall. So, does that help at all? Have you been able to guess what I am thinking of? If you said a bush, like you find in the garden, then that's correct. Well done for that. So today we are talking about parables. We're doing parable 5 and parable 6 on my list. And yeah, we're just going to have a quick look at those and see what we can learn from it for our lives today. So the first parable is found in Luke chapter 7. The parable itself, the story that Jesus tells us to learn something from, is quite short, but we have to read the surrounding verses to get an idea of why he told the story and what it was all about. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 7 from verse 36 up to verse 48. So the Bible says that a Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. In that town was a woman who lived a sinful life. She heard that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, so she brought an alabaster jar full of perfume and stood behind Jesus by his feet, crying and wetting his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee saw this, he said to him, he said to himself, "Is this man really a prophet? He would know who this woman. If this man were really a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him. He would know what kind of sinful life she lives." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Yes, teacher," he said, "tell me." "There were 2 men who owed money to a moneylender," Jesus began. "One owed him 500 silver coins and the other one owed him 50. neither of them could pay back, so he cancelled the debt of both. Which one then would love him more? I suppose, answered Simon, that it would be the one who was forgiven more. You are right, said Jesus. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I came. You provided no olive oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins have been forgiven, but whoever has been forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, Your sins are forgiven. Right, we're going to stop there, but then that's when, in other versions of the Bible, this is the one where Judas starts to show some of his colors, because then he says that the woman has wasted the oil, and that Jesus should not have let her sort of waste the oil that she uses on his feet. And also, this is another part where the Pharisees sort of have a go, and they say, you know, Jesus should not have been forgiving sins. Only God can forgive sins. In another version of the Bible, it might be Matthew or thereabouts. But nonetheless, so that's the story, and that's the parable that Jesus told. Right, so money lenders were people that obviously gave money to people, and then they would ask for it back with interest, and they would be allowed to charge people a little bit more money. So if you borrowed £5, you might have to pay back £7. So that was something that happened quite a lot. And so this was another story that Jesus was using that people were really familiar with, and they would understand quite easily what he was saying. And so we could look at what the moneylender could have done. He had several options for if people didn't pay him back his money. He could demand the payment in livestock or in valuable objects. Some people had to have their children go and work for moneylenders until the money was paid up, or they had to become the moneylender's slave until the money was paid up, or he could have even put the people in prison because they hadn't paid their debt. So and then they would wait for friends or relatives to pay that money back, and then the person would be set free. Another thing he could have done, of course, is to forgive the debt and tell people that they didn't have to pay him anymore if they really found it difficult. This was a law that was set in Old Testament times when Moses was giving the law to the Israelites in the desert. If somebody couldn't pay you for 7 years, you had to let the debt go. Because that meant that they just didn't have any money. Now, the amount of money that we're talking about here, 500 silver coins, this was like the same as somebody working for 2 years. That's how much money they would make. They would make about 500. So it was quite a lot of money. Because although you might not know how much your parents make, but 2 years' work is a lot of money. So this was, quite a lot of money that he was forgiving them, £500. And the woman that came to wash Jesus's feet, you know, some thought about that, at least to think that, why did she come to the party? Why did she come? Because she was obviously not invited. And when she came, she, you know, what was her intention? What plans did she have? So she might have been feeling sort of appreciation for Jesus having met her previously. We don't know this, but he might have met her at another time and spoken to her maybe and forgiven her her sins. And then this was her showing her appreciation. Or she might have just sort of known that how great Jesus was, and just wanted to show him that. There is a theory that there's another story in the Bible where Jesus forgives a woman who's actually found sort of like doing wrong things, and then and people are about to stone her, and Jesus says anyone who hasn't sinned at all themselves should be the first one to cast the first stone, and everybody ends up leaving and not stoning the woman. So there is some thought that this is the same woman, because then Jesus says, woman, if there's no one here to accuse you of your sin, then you can go. So she goes off, and this could be the same person who then comes to show Jesus disappreciation. And that for me makes quite a bit of sense. So basically the story is just telling us that if someone is forgiven if they've done a lot of things wrong and they're forgiven, then the appreciation and the love that they will show will be a lot more. And that is true. When we have done lots of things wrong and God forgives us, then not only should we really, really love God more, but then we should also show forgiveness to other people around us. So there's another parable that deals with that really, really nicely. So now Jesus also mentions about how he has been treated by Simon, the host. When people generally came to your house, because the roads were so dusty, it was the custom that you would have a bowl of water for them to wash their feet. And because people wore sandals and the roads were really dusty and muddy and people walked everywhere, so it was very, very common to have very dusty feet. So you would wash people's feet when they came into your house before they sat down. And they didn't usually sit down to eat. They sometimes inclined and they sort of like lay down a little bit to eat. And also when they came to your house, you would greet them with two kisses on each cheek. And this was obviously something that Simon had not done. And Jesus points this out, and he points out how rude it was, because he wasn't treating Jesus with the respect. And this is just makes it sort of like shows even more importantly how well this woman was treating Jesus, because she was showing him a lot of respect. And Simon, by thinking about the woman, he was judging her. And he was comparing her to himself and thinking, oh, well, you know, Jesus can't be a prophet, because he wouldn't associate with people like this if he knew how bad this woman is. And so, you know, in a way he was sort of saying, but he can associate with me because I'm all right. I haven't done anything wrong. But Jesus points out that our good behavior, we should never judge anyone. We shouldn't sort of like decide whether someone's done something good or bad. That's for God to decide. But as well as that, you know, we shouldn't be so proud of our own standing and think, oh yeah, I'm okay compared to other people. We shouldn't compare ourselves. Because then it just shows that we're not really showing the love of Jesus to other people, and we're not forgiving other people, and we're not seeing them with the love that God has for them. So we should see that we all need forgiveness. Even if we think we've had a really good day and we've been really, really good, we still need to ask God for forgiveness, because there might be something that we've done wrong and we're just not aware of it. And one of the things that I think we can always ask God for forgiveness for is not giving him the time that he deserves. God is amazing and he loves us so much, but he does deserve our attention and our focus, and we should focus more on him and what he wants us to do. Because every day that we're alive, God has a plan for that day, and we should work more to work with him to make that plan come to pass. So we can always ask for forgiveness for not giving God the attention that he deserves. Right, now if we look at the second parable, it's not far from that. It's also in the book of Luke. Luke wrote loads of stories. It's a really, really lovely book to read. The second parable is about light again. And here, Jesus has talked about a few other things before, but this story just stands out quite simply. It's Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. And Jesus says, "No one lights a lamp and covers it with a bowl or puts it under a bed. Instead, it is put on a bedstand so that people will see the light as they come in. Whatever is hidden away will be brought out into the open, and whatever is covered up will be found and brought to light." I love this. I absolutely love this. Because in those days, again, they had the light. They normally just had one candle in each of the houses. And it might be a proper candle like we know, which is all white with a wick in the middle of it. Or it might be oil. It might be an oil lamp, which just had a wick in liquid oil. And then you would light that and it would be a source of light. So one of the things that the commentary brought out when I was reading it, which I hadn't thought of before, is that we have, when you light a candle, nobody really focuses on the candle. You see the light. The light is the sort of the more important thing. The only time you really realize or look at the candle very much is when it is burning out. So when you're putting a lamp on, the main focus is the light, not the lamp. And with this parable, Jesus is sort of saying, as Christians, we shouldn't hide away from the world. We are a source of the light, Jesus. Jesus' love shines through us and comes out as light. And we shouldn't hide or separate ourselves from the world. This again brings an idea that I've spoken about before, about how we can have friends that are not Christians, because we are to show them the light. We are to show them Jesus. And we shouldn't hide ourselves away, and we shouldn't sort of like not expose ourselves to people that are not Christians and just have Christian friends all the time, because we need to change the world. And the only way to do that is to be out there in the world. And Jesus is saying here that when you're using light, and for the light to work, you don't hide it under something else. You put the light up high where it will be seen. And as Christians, we should be out there. They should be Christians in government, Christian teachers, Christians in every class. And you shouldn't hide the fact that you're a Christian. You should let your faith shine and let Jesus shine so that people can come to you for the answers, so that they can see the light and come to you, and you will lead them to Jesus. And another great point this was showing is that like a light does not have to be taught how to shine. And, you know, a candle doesn't have to go to school to learn how to shine. You just light it and it does its work. And the same with us as Christians that are holding Jesus in our heart. We don't need to go to seminary school. We don't need education about how to show that light. That light is going to shine through regardless of the outside appearance of us, of who we are or what we're doing. If Jesus is really in your heart and you really love him and you want to work with him, that light will shine through. His love will show up and will touch and affect other people around you. You don't have to, you know, you don't have like serious teaching. You don't have to read lots of books. It's good to read your Bible. But, you know, you don't have to be trained to be a Christian. Just like A light doesn't need to be trained to light up a room. It's already going to do that. And I really love that idea that as simple as we are, as young as you are enough for Jesus to shine through you. You don't need any special training or anything like that. So I hope that really sort of helps to look at those two parables and to see how we can go out there into the world. And I love the idea that Jesus puts that whatever is hidden, in verse 17 it says, whatever is hidden away will be brought out into the open, and whatever is covered up will be found and brought to light. And then in verse 18 it says, which I didn't read before, be careful then how you listen, because those who have something will be given more, but whoever has nothing will have taken away from them even the little that they think they have. Firstly, it's talking about just like the idea that we had in the first parable, in parable 5, where we were looking at Simon the Pharisee, who was saying in his heart, oh, that woman is a sinner and Jesus should not associate with her. That was hidden away from everyone else. But because Jesus, the light, was there, he shone into that conversation and he could see Simon, and he could see Simon's heart, and he could see his bad thoughts. And Jesus used that to teach us this great thing. And that's the same idea that's coming up here, that whatever things are hidden away will be brought out into the open. And these can be bad things, but they could also be good things. When you're doing things in secret and in private, and you're helping somebody out without them knowing, or without it being out in the open, or without you getting a reward, Jesus and God bring it out into the open, and you get your just reward. And hopefully it is something good and you get great things happening. But if it is something bad, you're going to get the punishment for it. So don't ever think, oh, I've got away with it, and it's going to come out. It's going to come out. I love that there's nothing that is secret that is done that will not come out. And it says, be careful then, because whoever has something will be given more. But like, if you do something bad, even the little that you have will be taken away from you. And I mean, that's something that we have to be really, really careful of, to know that whatever we have, we have to use it wisely and we have to use it well. And if we don't, even if it's just a little bit, it'll be taken away and given to somebody else who will use it better. So go out there, use your gifts, use the light that shines in you through Jesus. Be truthful and honest with people, and you know, do the best you can, and don't judge other people. Try not to sort of like put yourself up there by making other people feel or look bad. And God will help us. And God, you know, I need help in this as well. So God will help us all. So stay blessed. And I'll speak to you another time. Bye.